I've been looking in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 as we've been looking at Paul in his letter to the church of Corinth. And as he's speaking to the church, he's in this chapter talking to them about finances. And I'm going to look at one last verse and then just show you, because we've spent a lot of time looking at just giving, that heart of being a giver, how God feels about a giver, what the benefits are for us as we follow in that. So we've seen all that, but I also just want you to see just how the word fits together. And the truths of the word, well, they're universal. And everything we've learned in the last number of days, talking about 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and that giving and how God views that heart of the giver and what he expects out of us and what he wants out of us. And we've looked at what the benefits are for us and the obedience to our giving. But these principles, these things that are foundational truths, these principles go beyond even giving. And we'll see how, as we get to this last verse we're looking at today, it also ties into a verse from the Old Testament, which has nothing to do with finances, but is still an encouragement to us. So we've been looking at the last couple of days. Verse number 6 in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 does tell us that he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and he who sows generously will reap generously. Simple concept to understand. Verse 7, he talks about us and the desire for us to be cheerful in our giving, to have that right attitude, to want to give promptly and have that desire to give to him, that it follows after the heart of God. He delights in giving to us, and we should have that same heart of delighting to give back to him as we give to either the church, to ministries, or to individuals as we see that they have needs. In verse number 8, it talks about how God does provide for us grace. He provides everything that we need so that we can be self-sufficient, that we would have all that we need so that we could have all of our needs met, but also have the ability to give everywhere that he instructs, and to give just anywhere that our heart's desire is to give and to plant seeds. We looked yesterday at verse number 9, and it says, as it is written, he, the benevolent person, scatters abroad. He gives to the poor. His deeds of justice and goodness and kindness and benevolence will go on and endure forever. We looked at how true that is. Everything that you do, and we think of the small thing when we give, and we give oftentimes, well, I hope we give oftentimes, just in quietness, not with a big fanfare, not with big show, but we just give because we have a heart to help somebody that's in need. And those things that we think are so unimportant and we forget about, those things go on. It has an impact in that person's life. You can touch generations truly by teaching someone to have a giver's heart. But we also saw that in the spiritual realm, those things are never forgotten. They endure forever, just like the widow's mite. You know, what she did, that's been shared throughout the generations, generation upon generation for 2,000 years. She never knew that Jesus himself saw, witnessed, acknowledged, and then spoke that for us to always have as an example for generations and generations. When we do give, the one that has that benevolent heart, the one that has the heart to give, when you do give, when you act according to that heart, and you act and you do give, the benefits, will they endure forever? That's what the word says. Now look at verse number 10. Verse 10 in the Amplified says, and God, who provides seed for the sower and bread for eating, will also provide and multiply your treasures for sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness, which manifests itself in act of goodness, kindness, and charity. Let's look at that again. And God, who provides seed for the sower. So it's God who provides. If you're going to sow, God will provide. If you have a heart and the attitude that says, I want to give, God will provide the seed. You know, this whole chapter started off in verses 1 through 5 with Paul talking to the church of Corinth, and he's acknowledging and commending them for their heart and for their pledge to make a gift, to make a generous donation to those who are without in Jerusalem, to those who are suffering. And he said that your commitment to give, well, it stirred the hearts of those that are here with me, the Greeks that are here with me. They've been stirred by what you've done, by your commitment to give. But then he goes on to say, you've got the good heart. You are ready, you're eager, and you're ready to give. But now it's time to give. Now it's time to actually do it. Lest the good name, the good word that you've, the good example that you've set forth, lest it be tarnished. Because you committed to it, you were willing, you were ready, but you didn't do it. Well, he's saying here in verse number 10, that it's God who provides the seed for the sower. So for the church of Corinth, when they made that commitment, by making that commitment, if they'll be faithful to it, God will provide the seed. If you have a commitment, if you have in your heart You know, if there's something at your church that is something that's going on and they need, you know, maybe, you know, churches always need different things. Whatever it is that the church needs, a new building, whatever the case might be. If God has laid on your heart to give $5,000 and that seems impossible to you, but it's what God said to do. Well, what this verse is saying, and God who provides seed for the sower, if you're willing to sow, he'll provide the seed. If you have the heart to sow, he will provide the seed. I remember back, this is a long time ago. This is back in 1982, and I had just been saved for, well, less than a year. And my wife, who had been a Christian for her whole life, we had just gotten married, and she said to me, and we were tithing to the church we're going to, and she said to me that she thought, she really felt that we were supposed to give, pledge $1,000 for a year, within a year's time, pledge $1,000 to this one particular ministry. And it was a ministry that we both had received from, and it was a ministry that I was more than willing to help, but she said that we were supposed to give $1,000. Now, she was still in, you know, she was still getting her master's degree, so she's not bringing much money in at all. And I had my first full-time job out of college, and I was working for a ministry. I wasn't bringing in much money at all. In fact, we were well below poverty level. I was making $9,000. It was either $9,200 or $9,700. Let's assume the better. So I'm making just under $10,000. I'm in the nines. I'm not even at double digits yet. That's it. That's what I have for a year. And we're already tithing 10% to our church. So we're already down to under $9,000 to live on for the year, plus a little bit that she would bring in with her part-time work. And then on top of all that, she wanted to commit another $1,000. So we're giving $2,000 out of the $9,700 that I'm making in the year. She wants to commit $2,000 of that to give back to God, $1,000 for this one particular ministry. And when she said that, I thought that was crazy. And my first thought was, She has to absolutely be joking. I don't know how we're going to survive not tithing. How am I going to survive by tithing my 10% to the church and then giving another $1,000 to this ministry? What I didn't understand at the time is, if we're faithful, God will provide. I couldn't afford not to tithe. But in the logical mind, it appeared, how in the world can I afford to do this? But she told me she really felt strongly this is what the Lord had said. And so I prayed about it. And strangely enough, I believed it too. And so we committed and we made a formal commitment to that ministry to give them $1,000 within a year's time. Now, so we were doing what the Church of Corinth was doing. The Church of Corinth had said that they were ready and they were willing. They made the commitment. Now, my wife and I, we could have made that commitment and said, well, we're going to trust at some point before this year is up that God's going to give us $1,000 from some way. That's not the way we did it. We started that first month. We committed that every month we were going to give. We would give $100, or it was just under $100, every month. Because that way we knew we were being faithful. And even though we didn't have the money to give, we did it. And what took place is what it says here. And God, who provides seed for the sower. We were sowing. We were taking money that, in the natural world and to the logical mind, that was money that we needed for rent, for gas, for heat, for food, for all the general necessities that you have in life. That was money we needed just to live. And we were taking that money and we were sowing it. We were sowing it to where we felt and where we believed that God had told us to sow. So God provides seed for the sower. You know what? We were able to get that $1,000 in before the year was up. And we tithed to our church. And you know what? We had all of our expenses paid. There was never a bill that went unpaid for that entire year. That was a great step of faith. And that was a great lesson for me as a very young believer on God's faithfulness and God's faithfulness in finances. And that's why, you know, I told you when I started this, I'm talking about this now because I don't want you to think I'm trying to raise money for Yes FM. I'm not telling you these things from the Word of God so that you'll give to Yes FM. I'm telling you these things because it benefits you and I. If I learned the benefits of giving. I learned God's faithfulness, and I learned that I could trust God, and He would take care of us. He'd be faithful to His promises. And if I care about you, I want to teach you that as well. I want you to understand that. I want you to experience the same goodness and faithfulness of God in the area of finances that I've experienced. Let me tell you, I've been in ministry for 32 years, coming up on 32 years. 31 and a half years. When you're in ministry, you're not making a lot of money. And yet we have always had more than enough. And any time that Don and I have felt like we should give a specific amount to a ministry above and beyond what we're already giving, he's always provided that for us, and we've always had enough. If I had time, I'd tell you just how our finances work in our life. God is faithful. If we will listen and obey these concepts and these principles that the Word itself teaches, I'm only looking at one part of it. I'm just looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. There's plenty in the Bible that talks about tithing and giving and gives instruction and gives examples. But if you will do this, if you will sow, not just commit to sow, but if you will sow, God will provide the seed for you. He provides seed for the sower and bread for the eating. That means if I will sow the seed, he's going to give me seed that I can have, that I can plant, and seed that I can have, that I can consume. The mentality that most of us have is whatever money, seed, whatever money comes into our hands, we take that money, that seed, and we consume it. We consume it all. Or we consume the vast majority of it. If I consume everything but I don't plant, I'm not going to get a harvest. If I'm a farmer and I plant corn and I take all the corn seed, all the corn that I harvest, and I take all that seed and I eat it, I consume it, I set none aside for planting, well, I'll be fine for that moment. But once that corn is consumed, I got nothing left to eat, and I got no other way to make more corn, to get more corn, because I consumed it all. We take the money, the seed that we have, that God has given us. You know, whatever our income is, we're stewards. Whatever our income is, it belongs to God, not to us. And we take that money that he provides for us, and if we consume it all to ourselves without planting the seed, in other words, putting that seed back into the ministry, giving to our churches, giving to the ministries that God has laid on our hearts to do, giving any place that we think, wow, this is a good ministry, I want to plant seed in there. If we consume all the seed that he gives us, we consume it as bread, we have no seed to plant. And if we have no seed to plant, we're going to have no harvest down the road. God provides seed for the sower and bread for the eating, and will also provide and multiply your resources for sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness. The more you give, the more he's going to increase. I know a lot of people struggle with that and say, you can't say that. I'm just telling you what the Word says. That's what the Word of God says. God is God who provides seed for the sower. If I'm going to sow, he's going to provide the seed for me. He'll provide the seed that I can sow and also seed that I can consume. Seed that meets my needs. And will also, that means also means above that, and will also provide and multiply your resources for sowing. You know, as I give, as I sow, as I actually take that seed and I sow it and I invest it somewhere else, not only is he going to provide me more seed for meeting my needs, as well as for sowing and planting seed into other places that he instructs, other ministries, other things to advance the kingdom of God, he's going to multiply the resources for sowing. In other words, if you're looking for a job, this is the verse you can stand on. If you're looking for a job, and it's been a struggle to find a job, here's your word. He provides seed for the sower and bread for eating, and will also provide, if you will sow, well, how can I sow, Todd? I don't have any money. Take whatever money you have. Start planting. If the money you have is not enough to meet your need, it's got to be the seed then. It's not going to meet your need anyway. You might as well plant it as seed. Because he says not only will he then provide you seed for your needs, for you to consume, to meet your needs, but he'll also provide seed for you to sow. But once you sow, he's also, that means in addition, going to provide and multiply your resources. That means he gives you the opportunities to make more seed. If you're needing a job, looking for a job, give. And watch, he's going to open up the opportunities for you to have more resources. He's going to provide more income, more money for you because he knows that you will plant seed. You won't consume it all, but you'll plant as well. He'll multiply your resources for sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness. You're looking for increase? Are you looking for increase that's fruitful? It comes as a result of giving, which manifests itself in act of goodness, kindness, and charity. So what is the righteousness that he increases? Well, it demonstrates itself by having that heart of goodness, of kindness, of charity, of giving, of sowing. And again, this is talking about more than just giving to your church or to Yes FM or, you know, there's going to be times that you see an individual that has needs. Help them in their needs. These are the promises of God. The promises work if we'll apply them and stand on them.